Well, since I got into Psalms, I kind of got off on a little tangent here on the 32nd Psalm, and I'm with all due confidence today we're going to wrap it up and call it a day. So, with all that being said, our scripture comes to us out of the 32nd Psalm, verses 8 and 9, that I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Please pray with me. Father, as we turn to the Bible, we ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. You come to us in our weakness and our frailty and our poverty, that you might show yourself as a powerful, initiative-taking God. So we look to you in the pages of your word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Alistair Begg, he's invited to speak in a big mega church. I want you to picture it. It has, you know, big screens and clocks in the corners of all the screens. And it's counting down, you know, minutes and seconds. And right on the button, the band begins to play. And Alistair said he didn't know what to expect next. He was waiting for somebody like David Letterman to come out, you know. And the band did what it did. And then the praise leader in his opening gambit was this. Hey, how do you feel this morning? And he said, man, you could have just given the benediction. It was just so good. And then he says, you know, what kind of a New Testament question is that? How do you feel this morning? If I told you really how I feel in light of the last 5 minutes, you'd question whether I was really a Christian at all. Don't ask me that question. Ask me what I know. Don't ask me how I feel about myself. Ask me what I know about God. Ask me what I know about His Word. Ask me what I know to be a verity that can deal with my soul. That's what I need. Don't make me sing songs about how I feel. Don't. Silly, repetitive songs. Again and again. I just want to praise you, lift my hands and say I love you and you're everything to me. Goodness, at 8:30 in the morning, I'm barely ambulatory. I can't start there. And you want me to say that? I just kicked a dog and I don't even have a dog. I got into an argument. They took my parking spot and I spilled my coffee. I never read my Bible. I'm a miserable wretch and you want me to start here? I feel rotten. That's how I feel. What do you got for me? The answer is nothing. I've got nothing for you. That's why you need to get yourself under the control of the scriptures. That's why. It's what we know, just the verities of the scriptures, will fuel our hearts and motions and lead us on. Alistair quotes an old song out of an English hymnal. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Evermore his praises sing. Okay, we have something to sing about, he says. For we've been reminded of truth. You've been ransomed. You've been healed. You've been restored. You've been forgiven. You know, you're looking away from yourself and you're looking unto Christ. And it's in this we'll have something that fuels our praise. Last week I was really moved by Jeff's message. Know your enemy, the tempter, and he's like a prize fighter. It is messages, and he just keeps coming. You don't even get a chance to breathe in between each spiritual truth, and it's from one end to the other of every message. And I tell you that you should see that your enemy is well trained, he's well organized. An army of locusts are coming. The book of Joel chapter 2 tells us they march in order. They plunge through defenses without breaking rank. They climb into houses like thieves. They enter through windows. And I ask, are your windows open? To know God is to love what he loves, hate what he hates. To love Jesus Christ is to love what he loves. He loves the church, his bride. Don't be like the horse or a mule which have no understanding. Come to understand the truth. What truly controls your life? What dictates its ebb and flow? Are you bound up or are you free? Christ came to proclaim the good news. Freedom for prisoners. Freedom for the oppressed. He's come to open our blind eyes. He's come to remove our calloused hearts of stone and give us a new heart and put a new spirit in us. A dear price has been paid. Revelation 1 and 5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't defined by doing what you want, when you want, and how you want. That's not freedom. It's anarchy. Michael Ramsden says, anarchy in societies ruled by anarchies are marked by a loss of freedom and not a gain of it. Why? Freedom is a moral concept. It only exists in a moral framework. And he says, see it this way. There's a negative and a positive view of freedom. A negative view of freedom is characterized by the absence of any constraint. No form of external constraint whatsoever. And he says, picture a spaceman floating aimlessly in space, free of any form of constraint, yet powerless to move. And the question is, are you powerless? And on the other side is positive freedom. If that spaceman wants to move, he must come in contact with an external reality that he can push off of. And that external reality is God. God gave us freedom through Jesus Christ. He gives us a moral framework to protect that freedom, to preserve that freedom. He gave us his living word. And if we protect that framework, his word, we protect it by faith in Christ, and it's shown in our obedience to Christ. And in this, we will have an increase of freedom and not a loss of it. You see, we can turn away and we can turn to worldly wisdom and turn our intellects towards its philosophies. This is bad philosophy, Michael says. He goes on to describe a philosopher as a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there. I'll instruct you, God says. I'll teach you in the way you should go. I'll counsel you with my loving eye on you. This, my beloved, is a matter of the heart. And it all comes down to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. And in 1 John, the 4th chapter, we learn love comes from God, that God is love, that he showed his love, he sent his Son into the world that we might live through him. And it's not that we loved God, but it's that he loved us first and he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. How do we know we're in him and he's in us? He's given us his Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us leads us in God's truth. What's the truth? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In Christ we're made complete, whole. And we'll have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. There isn't a day that goes by or a tear that's been shed that God doesn't know about. He sees what we're going through. He knows. And think of it, there's 7.7 billion people on this earth, and he singles out each and every one of us. And he loves me. And he's chosen to have a relationship with me, an intimate, personal relationship. You see, The alcoholic never planned on becoming an alcoholic after deciding to take the first drink. The same with the addict, regardless of the addiction. And the same with David when he first saw Bathsheba. If he had known the events that had followed, would he have gone ahead and committed adultery? Then the murder of Uriah to cover it up. And if David knew his son would die only 7 days after his birth, would he have still gone through with it and satisfied his temptation? This is the purpose of consequence, of trial, of tribulation, of pain, and of suffering. But it is the love of God that works to the good, all things, even the ugly things, of those who love him. David loved his Lord. What's done is done, and that's never going to change. Because of God's love, his redemptive power, his offer of forgiveness, David will never be the same. Only through God, good can come from bad. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way. And I ask you, and what do you trust? Where do you put your faith? Put in Romans, the 10th chapter, starting in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess and are saved. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Lord, you've searched me and you know me, the psalmist writes. When I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts. Before the words even are on my tongue, you know them. You see, before I was saved, the Holy Spirit, he pulled on my heart and I had no peace. I had a big hole in my heart and I tried everything out there to fill it. And he witnessed to me. And he told me what Jesus did on the cross is true. I came to faith. I came to trust. With a whole heart, I came to believe. And now he witnesses in me. Oh, there's no excuse for not believing. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will help anyone who wants to believe. First, the Spirit witnesses to us. And then he witnesses in us. You see, Adrian Rogers, he tells the story that he's eating this wonderful piece of apple pie. And this fella comes up to him and he says, I don't believe in apple pie. There's no such thing as apple pie. Even if there was, it'd be no good. And despite all his arguments, Adrian said, I now have this wonderful piece of pie in me. And it's on the inside. And then he says, a Christian with a testimony is never at the mercy of an unbeliever with an argument because he has the witness in him. And let's keep going. Samuel Bolton said, the law sends us to the gospel that we might be justified. And the gospel sends us to the law again to inquire what's our duty in being justified. How can we love God and witness for him if we don't know him? 1 John chapter 2. We know we've come to know him when we obey his commands. If anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. You see, now the door of your heart is open and you're willing. And this is how we know that we're in him. And if I claim to live in him, I must walk as Jesus did. And Jesus says, if you truly love me, you'll follow my teaching. And my Father will love you and he'll come to you. The Father will come to you and make our home with you. Listen, I'm not telling you that salvation is based on whether you keep the commandments or not. In Christ, we're using his commands and his teachings for as a guide for our living our lives. You see, it is the desire of a heart that's freely given to Christ to live by his word. Oh, listen, man, I stumble. I get distracted. Just ask Jeff. I face times of doubt. I get confused on which way to go. But in the end, I'm telling you, the goal doesn't change. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Anyone who knows me knows it. A radical change, a deep burning desire to live for God. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand, he leadeth me. Listen, it's not to say that I don't sin anymore. The difference is, before Jesus Christ came into my life, I chased after sin. And now I run from it. And when I fall, I turn right around and I begin to run away again. Tell you about Adrian Rogers. He says, if you can willingly and knowingly sin against the will of God with no conviction, no compunction, and no remorse, you need to get saved. He said, a lot of people say, well, I walked down the aisle somewhere and I got saved. Now I'm just an old backslider. But I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. No, you're not. If you're living high, wide, and handsome, he says, and it doesn't break your heart, then you don't know the God of the Bible. Listen, the truth is you don't believe about Jesus Christ. You believe in Christ. God's looking for people who love him enough to obey him. The law of God is honored with the love of Christ as majesty and power to keep from sin, Sam Rutherford said. Heed his warnings. Rest on his promises. Think about all the times that you fell into temptation. With devotion and respect to God's word, you'll never face that shame again. Do you want to be free? Living in complete freedom? Do what God says. I will always obey your law, the psalmist writes. Forever and ever I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. Oh, Jesus, I just want to walk in freedom. Help me, Holy Spirit, to obey your precepts. Please pray with me. Father, we trust and obey to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. We ask for grace to trust you, Heavenly Father, as the loving provider of your word. As the power of the Spirit works in our lives, save us from ourselves, that we might empty ourselves and praise your grace, that we might stand before you unashamed on the day of your appearing. For we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.